Amen. Donnie, come here.
Amen.
Christmas Eve is a very, very special day for us. Very special. 38 years ago today, I asked this woman by faith to be my bride. And by faith, she said yes. So we always honor this day. In our family, we celebrate Christmas on Christmas Eve at 6 o'clock. And at 6 o'clock, 6 p.m. tonight, is when I asked her. And I asked her to be my bride, and she said yes. And I love her. And now the fruit of our marriage, God has blessed us abundantly. He's given us this word. This word is the most important thing. As you get baptized, this word, just ground your life on this word. It's a serious thing for you young people. You know, God is talking to the young people. You're the church of tomorrow. And as you look at us elders and you see our lives and you see how God has blessed us. And if you do it right, I mean, no matter what, your salvation is taken care of. But the blessing on this side, the benefits on this side, that's the thing. You want to go through life with benefits. And God has blessed our marriage. He's blessed our love. He's done so much. And we were just talking this morning how when you raise a family, you don't know what you're doing. You don't know what you're doing. There's no one that's ever. And all we did in the beginning, we just listened to what Brother Childers said. And no matter how hard it was or how confusing it seemed or how hard it was on our kids, we listened to what he said. We applied it. And that's all I can say. Just listen to the word and apply it. And that's what God's asking us to do. Amen. I love you, woman. Oh, amen.
I didn't want to interrupt the song. It was just wonderful and beautiful. But I just want to stand here today and give my testimony. Over 30 years been here. Over 30 years been back in the Sunday school. It just gets better. I already know. Deal with it every day. But just to piggyback off of what our brothers are saying, it's the obedience. That makes the difference. It beats out any sacrifice you can make, you know. And I'm just so thankful for this message, so thankful to be a part of this body, you know. And I look at each one of my brothers and sisters, and I want to greet you as I don't know if we'll see each other again, here, there, or in the air. But the last greeting I want to be with you is I love you, I respect you, I'm glad. I'm taking words from Pastor Moore. It's an honor to finish this race with each and every last one of you. You know, I wouldn't have it any other way. And I thank God that he placed me in this body, because I could have been in another body. I could have been in another country. But he saw fit for us to be here and to finish this race together. And I'm just so honored. I'm so thrilled. I'm so glad for our ministry. I'm so glad for the men of God that stand before our families. You know, even if you, like Pastor Moore said, even if you don't have a husband, you have a head, but you have many brothers that will help you along the way, many sisters that will help you along the way. We don't have to do this alone. And I just want to thank God. I want to do better next year. I want to stand. I want to be at my post of duty. Because when God gives you something to do, just like the ministry said, be accountable. Be at your post of duty. Take it serious. And I just want to do it more, as the prophet said, if I've done anything for God, I better start today. Amen.
Amen. You know, I kind of want to piggyback on that as well. Because, you know, I was thinking, as she was saying, talking about obedience, you know, obedience and sacrifice, you got to pay on both ends. But obedience is the only thing that pays you back. Sacrifice, you just going to pay and you just going to pay. You'll learn something, but you're going to pay to learn something. And I just want, you know, I grabbed that out of what she was saying. And, you know, it's really true. You know, obedience is better than sacrifice. And I'm just so happy to be here right now. And Brother Moore, what was that song you were playing just before she got up? Yeah, let's go ahead and sing that. Touching Jesus is all that really matters. Then your life will never be the same. Yes, there's only one way to touch him. Touching Jesus is all that really matters. Then your life will never be the same. There's only one way to touch him. Must believe when you call on his name. Sing it one more time. Yes, touching Jesus is all that really matters. Then your life. Touch him. You must believe when you call on his name. One more time. Oh, touching Jesus is all that really matters. Sister Jen, go ahead.
Good morning. Hi. I just so glad I'm chosen.
Yes.
Amen. When I talk to God, to get stronger and ask him about a subject.
Yes.
He helps me out. Respect for my pastor, respect for others. Every day I choose to talk to him, amen, do my ministry. For the people around me that I don't even know, my family, it matters.
Yes.
And fall and stumble, there's a way out. So glad for that. It's about relationship with the one who chose me.
Yes.
Just, I clear that up too. But I'm just so glad to be here. Give me another chance.
Amen.
To do what he wants. That's what he wants, a relationship with me. And that is truly on this side. That is what gets me through Oh, I'm so glad to be here. I have, you know, grown children now, but I just go back and think, you know, that's what they see, and
yes,
it helps them.
Absolutely.
In
Amen.
Life, too. What I've put in them, the foundation for myself, for them. You know, I participated in sports younger, and I draw on that, but that's not fully what
right.
this body on this side can
right.
do, this outer shell. I must talk to him to get stronger. You can feel when you're weak, and
Amen.
That's just not, no. Go the way he wants me to go. That's good. Thank you.
Amen. Brother Mike.
Just so grateful for revelation. I was at work, and one of the guys came walking up to me, one of the inmates, he's like, man, he says, I can't even believe I'm here. I'm like, well, go ahead and talk about it. He's like, well, I'm from New Jersey. I was just, during the nighttime, driving through this Dayton area, and I got pulled over. I had my medication in the car, but I didn't have it in the actual bottles. I had it set aside because all my medication was packed up. And they arrested me for drug trafficking and brought me to jail. I think that's kind of funny, but all I could think of is all that the Father has given me
Amen.
Shall come.
That's right.
That's right.
Oh,
yeah.
And I told him, I was like, well, says, remember what the Bible says. All things work together for the good. One day, all this will make sense. I know how. On that judgment day, he'll come by and says, yeah, they brought you face to face with the Son of Man
yes.
on that day. And that's why I was, next day he was gone. Obviously, a prosecutor's not going to take something stupid like that. But all that was just so that he could stand before the Son of Man and meet him, talk to him, touch him. I was sitting there, and I am so grateful for the path that I have because I can do things like that. And I'm just so grateful for a revelation on all that the Father has given me shall come. No matter what, no matter where they're at in the world, they will cross your path. One way or the
yes.
other, they will cross your
That's
path.
That's the truth.
That's a promise.
Yes.
And it's one that all of us can testify of.
Yeah.
There's people crossing our path all the time. Yeah, I had need to go by work because that's my job.
Yes.
But all those who come in there on little silly things are being blessed just by going through in that direction.
That's right.
They don't know. That's fine. I know. That's all that really matters. I'm so grateful for all that we've gotten here to know the purpose of everything else in the world. That no matter what comes our way, we have a revelation on it.
Yes.
We know why all these things are happening, and that we can be blessed by them. Other people, it's a little bit rough on them, but it'll be worth it on the other side.
Amen.
Once they get through there, they'll see, oh, that's why. And like I said, that's why I tell them, like, well, all things work together, not just the good, Amen. All things.
Amen.
That thing right there just brought you face to face with the Son of Man. And that's where you will get your eternal
Amen.
Life. So thank you. Thank you, God, for everything you've given me.
Amen. You know, that's true. Because, you know, sometimes doing the type of work I do, sometimes I run in circles all the time. Sometimes I forget materials or some things will pop up and it just, you got to be flexible, you know. And sometimes I get on myself about it and I'm like, you know, just going crazy because it should have been right the first time the way, you know, it was planned. But, you know, God gets his job done in our mistakes, in our shortcomings, and the things that we don't understand why. We set up everything the way it's supposed to go perfect, but then you got to consult with the Father. You got to let him know what your plans are. He said, commit thy works unto the Lord and all of your plans will be established. All of your plans. And so whenever, you know, I run into these little mishaps and stuff, I'm like, why, Lord? Why me? But it's like, I needed you to go there because I needed you to take two circles around the block just because it was time for that person to meet God. So just, you know, don't be so hard on yourself.
Amen. And I was thinking this morning, too, about foreknowledge. You know, all these things happen by his foreknowledge. You know, he doesn't make anything happen.
No.
It's just by his foreknowledge.
Yes. Amen.
He had to see that you wanted him.
Yeah.
before he could ever predestinate you. Sometimes you get the cart before the horse. We think, well, I'm predestined. I couldn't miss it. No, no, no. All by his foreknowledge, free moral agency. If it wasn't that, then it, we'd be robots. You know, he'd say, pick one, you know, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, kind of thing. But because I wanted salvation, he made it possible for me to have salvation. I was thinking about my wife this morning, you know. If Jan didn't want to be married to me, there's no way I could make her married to me.
Right.
There's no way she could be married to me because she didn't want it.
Right.
But since she wanted it, then I made it possible. I gave her power to be my wife.
Amen.
I gave her a vow.
Yes.
I watch over you. I take care of you till death do us part. You know, I married her.
Yes.
I gave her my name.
Yes.
But that's all because she wanted
to
be my wife.
Amen.
I didn't force her. It's not arranged marriages, you know.
Amen.
And I'm thankful it's that way.
Yes.
I'm thankful it's that way. That balances it so much for me.
Yes.
You know, otherwise I'm thinking, well, why not this? They didn't want it. Why this? Right. They did want it.
Yes.
You know, and if somebody don't want it, he can't give it.
Can't give it.
You say by grace,
through
your faith, and that not of your own is the gift of God. Not the faith.
Yeah.
The grace is the gift of God.
Amen.
I used to think the faith was the gift of God because of predestination. I had it backwards. But the faith is you. The gift of God was that grace that he gave you since you had that faith.
Right.
And that, you know, I was just thinking about that this morning. And how it works, you know, how to as many as believed on his name, to them gave he power to be the sons of God.
Amen.
And, you know, and it's beautiful because it, you know, for people who don't want it, they just don't want it. You know, I throw a $100 bill out and I say it's free for the taking. Well, some might take it, some might not.
Right.
And whoever jumps on it, the other one gets it.
That's right.
The other one sits back and thinks too long.
Yeah.
They miss out.
It's gone.
Amen. I'm thankful for his grace.
Yes.
I'm thankful for free moral agency. I'm thankful I chose him.
Yes.
I look back and I think, oh, I'm so thankful I wanted you. Because of all what you have in store for me.
Yes.
I could have never dreamed of my little bit of faith. I said, Lord, I want you. You know, I was thinking about back in the third grade, Sunday school. I remember looking up a picture of Jesus here in Sunday school, and the thing kind of clicked for me. You know, not just all of a sudden. I just thought, oh, why wouldn't somebody want salvation?
Yeah.
You know? And from then on, God began to kind of deal with me, and he brought me to this place.
Amen.
Beyond my wildest dreams, beyond anything I could.
Yes.
And I'm so thankful.
Amen.
So thankful. Amen.
Amen. Let's sing song 164, key of G, This World Is Not My Home.
Amen, amen.
And then we'll get into this morning's festivities. Glad to be here.
Just pass it.
My home, I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world. Fixed it up with Jesus many years ago. I know he'll take us through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. They're all so sweet at praise. Drift back from heaven's shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, oh Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, oh Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home, and I can't feel at home. No, I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Of applause. He got us through this year. He got us to this day, this very Amen. Present hour. This could be our last service. Right. It should be our last service. But Amen. My goodness, we'll give him whatever he wants. So I'm just so happy. I don't know how everything's going to go. I'm just following the leading of the Spirit. So
Amen.
If things aren't, you know, to your liking, hey, you got to take that up with the boss. But so it's going to be good. You may be seated. So, we're going to go ahead and start with Sister Crystal. With a spoken word introduction to hit the ground floor running here. Let me set you up, sis.
Okay. I'm so sorry. Thank you so much. Okay.
Brother Fabian.
Should I move this?
You can move it anywhere you want.
Okay. Good morning, body. I am so thrilled to be here and so grateful. This is the end of the year, and the last year, my husband and I, we were very ill. We was not able to make it to the celebration. But God has allowed me to come through those doors to worship with my brothers and sisters. And Pastor Moore, and Brother Jeremiah, and Brother James, thank you very much. The messages, talking about rapturing faith, talking about believing in the Lord. And I believe everything that has been shared here in the message. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Okay, is that better? Okay. I just would like to have a piece to share with you all. And this inspired me when I was a little girl growing up with my grandmother. And we called her Big Mama. And with Big Mama, when we would go down to visit the southern states, she would have a bonfire. And with the bonfire, she would ask us to share what our blessings were. And this has allowed me to be able to share with you all my walk throughout my years with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to begin with Behold Christmas. Behold the Word Revealed. Once upon a time, L.L. Young
the God Most High spoke the words of creation. The heavens and the earth appeared. El Shaddai, the God Almighty, spoke. The galaxy whirled into the place. The light displaced the darkness. And the star blazed the sky. At Elohim, the one and only God's word, the mountains rose and the waters suspended above and beneath the firmament. Yes, the stars obey and the moon shines at Yahweh's command. Jehovah Shammah spoke, and the plants and the creatures, they sprung forth on the lands and on the earth. El Olam, the everlasting God, is He, Yahweh, Jehovah, is the Lord. His word, unleash power. He is sovereign. He is eternal, infinite, unrestrained, and the unhindered in power. We hell the Word made flesh. We hollow Jesus, the one who grants us access to eternal life. Behold Christmas. Behold, I say, my truth has been revealed. My identity has been uncovered. Yes, Christmas knocked at my door. In his hand had my new identity. He said, your name is Mrs. Jesus, for you are my delight. You don't belong to shame, anger, fear, anxiety, or intimidation anymore. You now live in me, and I in you. Your past I do not recall. Like an eagle, he says, soar in me, blossom in righteousness, for my spirit of righteousness is in you. For you are an heir of my kingdom and joint heirs with me. I love this. Yes, you're worth the riches and glory. A new position he placed us in. And those are the heavenly places. Because of Christmas, a sound mind he bestowed on us. For we have been joined to God. And he who joined to the Lord is one with him. Because of Christmas, our reality is faith. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Yes, we have perfect peace. Yes, we are strong in the Lord. Yes, we are victorious. We walk in the truth. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and he is called Wonderful, Alpha Omega, Counselor, Mighty God, the beginning and the end, the Prince of Peace. Behold,
thank you. That was beautiful. Thank you, Sister Crystal. Next, I'd like to call Sister Adeline. She's going to be playing Joy to the World, a piano number. God bless her. Our upcoming pianist. Amen. Oh. God bless you, Sister Amelin. That was wonderful. She gave us a double feature. That's great. Love it. Now I'm going to call Brother AJ, Sister Clarice, and Sister Christy. They're going to do a little mashup for us. Amen. That was wonderful. And now I'd like to call Sister Joy, Brother Kevin, and Sister Sway. All right. They'll be singing O Holy Night.
Thank you. a dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices on night divine, oh, Christ was born on night divine, oh night divine. Oh, holy night, the stars so brightly shining, this is the night of a dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared and the soul saw its words. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks and you glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices on night divine, oh, night when Christ was born.
Wonderful. At this time, I'd like to call Brother Don Deskin.
Sounds like a good idea when everybody else getting that. But Brother Morse isn't about not half-stepping things. You know, I've wrestled with this song a little bit because, you know, it's not a real Christmassy, although they play it a lot at Christmas. But, you know, I didn't even give it to Ramona till Thursday. Apologize for that again. And but it's called Angels Among Us. And I got thinking about the church ages. And I think, wow, maybe this song is a little more Christmassy than I think.
Oh, that's fitting.
You know, how did he come to us, you know, when we were afraid and alone? Led us through the darkness, led us back home. I think, Lord, there's maybe a reason this means something to me.
Yes.
Maybe the reason I enjoy this. So I better sing it before I get where I can't. Amen.
Amen.
Thank God for his truth. I was walking home from school on a cold winter's day. I took a shortcut through the woods, and I'd lost my way. It was getting late. I was scared and alone. Then a kind old man took my hand and led me home. Mama couldn't see him, but he was standing there. And I knew in my heart he was the answer to my prayer. Oh, I believe there are angels among us. sent down to us from somewhere up above. They come to you and me in our darkest hours to show us how to live, to teach us how to give, to guide us with the light of love. When life held troubled times and had me down on my knees, there always was someone to come along and comfort me. A kind word from a stranger to lend a helping hand, a phone call from a friend just to say I understand. Ain't it kind of funny, at the dark end of the road, someone comes along with just a single ray of hope. Oh, I believe there are angels among us, sent down to us from somewhere up above. They come to you and me in our darkest hours to show us how to live, to teach us how to give, to guide us with the light of love. They wear so many faces, show up in the strangest places to grace us with their mercy in our time of need. Oh, I believe there are angels among us, sent down to us from somewhere up above. They come to you and me in our darkest hours to show us how to live and teach us how to give, to guide us with the light of love, to guide us with the light of love. Amen.
I hope you guys are enjoying this as much as I am, because I'm over here just, oh, somebody, I have to take the show. I'm over here wet already on my face. Woo! This is wonderful. So at this time, I'd like to call Brother AJ again and Sister Kara.
We're going to sing a song about a little boy who gave all he had to Jesus. He didn't have a lot, but he gave what he had, and I want to be like him. I want to do that too. So, is that too high for you?
Rum-pa-pum-pum. So to honor him, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum, when we come, little baby, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. I am a poor boy to pa-rum-pa-pum-pum, and I have no gift to bring pa-rum-pa-pum-pum to lay before the king pa-rum-pa-pum-pum, rum-pa-pum-pum. Rum-pa-pum-pum. Shall I play for you? Pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. On my drum. Mary nodded. Pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. The ox and lamb kept time, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. And I played my drums for him, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. And I played my best for him, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum, rum-pa-pum-pum. Rum-pa-pum-pum. Then he smiled at me, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum, me and my drum, me and my drum, me and my drum.
That was beautiful. You know, the one thing I loved about that song, it said the ox and lamb gave time. Man, that time's no more. We're out of time now. So let me get the pickings up. Amen. Let's just sing Away in the Manger. Amen.
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head.
The stars in the sky looked down where he lay, the little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay.
The cattle are lowing, the poor baby waits, but little Lord Jesus no crying he makes.
I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky, and stay by my side till morning is nigh. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay. Close by me forever and love me, I pray.
Bless all the dear children in thy tender care,
and take us to heaven to live with thee there.
Now, my favorite ones, the Moors.
The Moors.
The Moors. Amen.
missing some of our help.
Amen.
That's okay.
So tasty. Now I'd like to call the Brinkman Group.
Come on.
I'm getting a little jealous over here, because I wanna sing something too. You know, do something. I gotta do something. So at this time, I'd like to call Brother Warren and Brother James Pickens, because I'm gonna get in this party too. It's not a party till I put my little thing on it.
All right.
I'm excited to be here.
Amen.
This has gone way better than I imagined. And I'm just so blessed. I'm so blessed. And I just want to continue to keep blessing and giving and serving. All right. We're going to do Silent Night. Got mine in. All right. Well, okay. So just at this time, I'd like to call Brother Skyler and Brother Chris Loudon.
All right.
God bless you. They'll be closing this evening, this morning's festivities with a heaven's embrace.
Crazy.
if y'all would stand up and just give God a round of applause, please. Yeah. Merry Christmas. Amen. You may be seated. And that concludes our Christmas special. Let's sing one more song here. Oh. Let's sing 163 and then we'll get our pastor up. We're in this church. Kia G. Thank you for all of you that sang.
We're in this church. This glorious church, we did not join. No, I was born. I have a new birth. Some glorious day, we're gonna sail away. I'm gonna sail away. It's by His grace, not by my works. We're even in this church. We're in this church. This glorious church, I did not join. No, I was born. I have a new birth. Some glorious day, we're gonna sail away. We're gonna sail away. It's by His grace, not by my works. We're even in this church. Sing it again. We're in this church. This glorious church, we did not join. Oh, I was born. I have a new birth. Some glorious day, we're gonna sail away. Gonna sail away. It's by His grace, not by my works. We're even in this church. We're in this church.
When I was born, I had a new birth. Some glorious day, I will sail away. It's by His grace, and by my oh, I'm in this church. This glorious church, I didn't join. No, I was born, I had a new birth. For some glorious day, I'll sail away. Oh, it's by His grace, not by my work. I'm in this church. I am in this church. This glorious church, I did not join. No, I was born, I had a new birth. Some glorious day, I'll sail away. It's by His grace, not by my work. I'm in this church. I am in this church. This glorious church, oh, I didn't join. I was born, I had a new birth. Some glorious day, I will sail away. It's by His grace, not by my work. By His grace, not by my, it is by His grace, not by my work, I'm in this church. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before You this morning. It's by Your amazing grace that we're here today. You brought us from the east, the west, the north, the south.
You brought us all together to be gathered here in this location so that we can identify with your church, not just 1744 Superior, but the bride of all ages, all the way back to Paul, all the way back to the day of Pentecost, that first church. We're part of that church. And Lord, we're thankful for the opportunity to be here to be identified. Thank you for, Lord, all the blessings that you've given us this morning so far. Thank you for you coming. Thank you for the birth. Thank you, or even more so, for the death, because it was by that death that we were able to get the price paid that we could be here today. Thank you for the body and all that they did to give today. Lord, I ask you to bless every home. Ask you to be with us this morning. Speak to our hearts. Lord, those that are listening in from around the world, ask you to just bless those homes. And Father, those that couldn't be here today for one reason or another, ask you to be with them. Be with Jim and his family, Lord. And Father, just ask you to move in their behalf. And different ones that are here that are sick in body, that come even though they're not feeling the best. And those that may be sick at home, Lord, we ask you to move on their behalf. Let your word go and do what it said it was here to do. You said in your word, by your stripes we are healed. Not will be, but we're already, the price has already been paid. So let us, Lord, appreciate it and thank you in advance for what you're about to do. Touch us, Lord. Direct us. Keep us, Father. Continue to touch Jay. Continue to touch Dawn and John, Sister King, different ones in this body that have needs that may be even not even known to, that don't even let you know, but Lord, you know. Ask you to move here today, Lord. We've opened the book up. We've opened the Bible, but outside of you, it's just dead letter. So I ask you to walk these aisles today and speak to our hearts. Thank you for this Christmas season, Lord. We know the real reason. We aren't worried about Santa and elves and, Lord, gifts and all those things. We're just thankful that you gave your life. We're thankful that you came. Even though it wasn't December 25th, you did come. And we want to be thankful for that, not just today, but every day of our lives. Have your way this morning and speak to our hearts. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We've had a busy day already. And there is a baptism at the end of service. So we... That's why the water was running. So we've got the baptism. And now they didn't do announcements. They left it to me. All right. Correct me if I'm wrong. No service tonight.
Correct.
Okay. We will have service Wednesday.
Yes.
We'll have service Sunday morning.
Yes.
And then that's New Year's Eve.
That's right.
And then we will have dinner back here at 6 o'clock in the evening. Oh, I'm doing good. Keep me in check though. And then at 8 o'clock next Sunday evening is New Year's Eve, and we will be dancing out the old year and bringing in the new. You said, well, you dancing out the old, you ain't going to no party. Oh yes I am. Oh, this is the best party in town. I get drunker than I ever get on New Year's. I get really drunk in there on New Year's because you know what? It's a lot of, it means a lot of things to me. It's another year that I've come to the message. I came in January of 1980. And so it's another year for me to celebrate the fact that God called me. And so I take it real personal. And plus we'll have communion that night. And we'll take that very personal. And so that's another thing we've got in mind. So, and Brother Spivey in the Kentucky Church will be coming up next weekend for that Sunday service. And so they'll be here with us Sunday morning and Sunday evening. So we've got a lot of things to happen in a week. So that's all good. Now, as far as my announcement, did all 11 groups sing? They all did? All 11 did? Good, because at the end of service, Brother Isaiah is going to take that list of the 11 people who sang, and there's a poinsettia for every one of you.
and there's a number on it, and it'll coordinate with the number on your list. So Melanie's going to help you get that done. Now I'm doing all this now because I won't think about it in the service. Melanie's going to help you with that because she knows exactly where the ones are numbered. Now, that's in 11. There's one in there, number 12. You might jot this down because I won't remember this. Is going to be going to Sister Keene. Amen. She's going to take number 12 yes. home. And number 13 is going home with the Locketts. Yes. And number 14 is going home. Look at everybody's like, with Brother Mike Peters. And number 15 is going home with Sister Jennifer. Now, y'all got to figure out within the groups who sang which one of y'all get to take it home. I think I can whip Melanie and Clarice. So, bring it on. So they're all around. So, and under the bottom of it is the number. So just get with Melanie and Isaiah and take those home with you. I really, really, really enjoyed it. Y'all did an excellent job. And that's what can happen when you listen to God. You know, you never know what he's going to do until you just submit to him. And you say, I didn't get one. Did you sing? No. See, you can't get mad at me. Because I opened it up for everybody to sing. It was your choice. And if you chose not to, then don't get mad because you don't have a pin. What is that? Poinsettia. I want to call it pinata. And then, to show you how unbiased I am, I didn't even tell Isaiah I was doing this so he couldn't put you in a certain order. Because Melanie told me last night, she said, well, why don't you let Isaiah know so that he can do this? I said, I don't even want him to know tonight because he could change the order around. So it's totally above board. Amen. So it's good. I really appreciated it. I enjoyed the songs. And I love that song, Don. I've heard it a few times, but I don't hear it often. You're right. They don't sing that a lot at Christmas, but it is a very good song. And it's so fitting because it fits with my message. And, you know, y'all been waiting. Don was waiting for my Christmas message. Well, your song is right in my Christmas message. So, and it's good to be able to come and enjoy God together and celebrate Christmas for the real reason. And we do it year-round. We don't just do it on Christmas Eve. We do it. We celebrate God all year long. And it's good to be here. But I want to get started. I just a little message. It's nothing. I mean, I don't say it's nothing. Anything, any word of God is something. But I'm not trying to get real deep in Revelation, but you never know how we go. And but this was something that came on my mind and my heart. I woke up one morning and it just hit me. And I didn't even get scriptures or nothing together. I just left it. But I love the title. I can't wait to tell you the title. But I'm not going to do that. but it came on my heart, my mind, and I didn't. Don was saying, "Well, you know, you're gonna give it." And I said, "I didn't even have it ready. I didn't even know what I was doing then." And until last night, I never even sat down until yesterday. And so I went and I looked at the scriptures and things. And so it is the Christmas season, and you know, I have to do my Christmas message. That y'all always say I butcher because I don't. I, you know, it's okay to celebrate the birth of Christ, but don't leave him in a manger. If all you got this morning from your church service is Jesus was born in a manger, then you have missed an opportunity for God to talk to you, because unless you bring God current I am present tense, you don't have God. And if all you got is what he's done, and you don't know what he's doing, then you've missed him.
That's right.
It would have done you any good to go this week over to the mountain and listen, wait, looking for the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus ain't there. They make these pilgrimage to the Holy Lands and they do all these things, and that's all fine and dandy. I'd love to do it myself if I could afford it, because just it's good history and I like history. You know, I watch the History Channel sometime, and I like hearing about history, and it's good and all, but you know what? History doesn't save you. Having a God of yesterday doesn't save you. Talking about Jesus being born 2,000 years ago won't save you. You say, what? It won't save you. Because they're all, the whole world is celebrating the birth of Jesus. And ain't saving them. So you got to find out what God's doing in order to find out, because you can't get the help until you find out where he's at. So if you don't know where God is, that's the first thing you got to do is find out where he's at. I don't care if it was 2,000 years ago. I don't care if it's in 2023. If we make it to 2024, you're going to have to find out where God is then. So it's always a moving current God. It's never a I was. He never said that I was. When he dealt with Moses, he didn't say, tell him I was. He didn't tell him, I will be. And I'll be with him. And no, he said, tell him I am sent you. And it's always been the I am. And the Bible tells me that, see, I'm already gone and I need to start it. The Bible says that unless you can say that Jesus is the Christ, is the Christ, not was. Oh, we all know he was born. We all know he lived. We all know he come from Bethlehem. We all know he went to Calvary. But where is he today? See, that's if you preach a Christmas message, I don't care what message you preach, when you wind up, when you finish, you better be talking about the I am. It's okay to tell where he was, but you better tell him where he is. That's the only way you're going to help somebody. So, let's start out with the I was. Amen. Turn with me over to Matthew chapter 2. I was excited because when Brother Alex came and he preached, I loved his message because I just thought it was an amazing message. And it just stirred me up, and that's why I spilled the beans about them, because I'd already had the title, and I just heard that Alex preaching. I thought, yes, that's right on time, and it's just right on time. So we're going to just go over here and read a couple of verses here in Matthew chapter 2, starting at verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, in the day of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. May the Lord have his blessings to the reading of his word. And the title of my message for this morning is The Most Notable Star. And I love that. I woke up and it just hit my mind and I was like, oh my goodness, the most notable star. And there's some things we need to understand about this reading that we just had. There was so much going on in those six verses that just taking it apart and looking at it and thinking about what the conditions were at this time. Yeah. Number one, when Jesus was born, Jesus was not supposed to come the way that he did according to the high priest. According to the church dogmas and doctrines, everybody always thought they knew how the Messiah was going to come. And they believed God. They actually went to church. They went to synagogue. They served God because they believed that the Messiah was going to come. So you can't fault them for not believing in the Messiah. But the problem was they had so many traditions,
so many dogmas, so many ideas of how he was going to come, when he was going to come, where he was going to come, that they had so much junk on top of them, church religion, that when he fulfilled the word of God, they couldn't even see it. You can have so much tradition on you that God could approach you and walk right up to you and smile in your face, and you wouldn't even know it was him. We have so much tradition on us by what we've been taught for the last 2,000 years that we don't know what to expect when we talk about God. And when Jesus came the first time, the reason they didn't recognize him was because he didn't come the way they thought he was supposed to come. And the same thing it is today. People wouldn't recognize God if he walked up to them today. People didn't walk up to Jesus and recognize him. They looked at him and thought, who is this man? Where did he come from? They came out of Bethlehem, the worst place in the world. Worst place. But that was the house of God's bread.
That's right.
See, God doesn't do nothing for nothing.
Right.
And you got to understand, when God puts something in a town, he puts it in there for a reason.
Yes.
Bethlehem was the house of God's bread because that's where God's bread was coming from.
Right. Yes.
It's only one Fairborn in the world.
Right.
It's only one Fairborn in the world.
Only one.
All the birthplace of flight.
Yeah.
Oh my.
Amen.
God doesn't do nothing for nothing.
Oh, yeah. Woo. Oh, my goodness.
So Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the worst place ever. Matter of fact, when he started calling the disciples, they asked, he says, could anything good come out of that place? And the thing about it was the church people knew the scriptures. They weren't ignorant of the scrolls. And matter of fact, when these three wise men or however many was there, because it doesn't say three. Only reason they narrowed down three because somebody here carried the gold. Somebody carried the frankincense. And somebody carried the myrrh. And so our education says there was only three. That could have been 100 of them. Nobody knows how many. And they didn't travel by themselves. And they didn't carry their own stuff.
Amen.
They had camels. They had servants. They had people that worked with them. So don't tell me there's only three wise men. Let me bust your bubble right now. Let me get rid of that tradition forever.
Amen.
It wasn't just three.
Come on.
But these wise men, they were wise not because they were religious. They were wise because they knew how to look at the sky and read it.
That's right.
Brother Branham said that was God's first Bible.
Amen.
So what these guys would do, they knew the prophecies because they had the books, they had the scrolls, they knew the prophecies, but what they would do, what they would watch the sky, because the sky would always tell you what's going on earth.
Right.
That's what made them wise.
Amen.
What made them wise that was that they could look at the stars and find the right stars to find out what was going on here. But what they found out that there one night was a notable star.
Yes, right.
Out of all the stars, there was something different about this star.
Yeah.
It was more notable than all the other stars. And they started checking things out, and they started looking at the prophecies, and they started looking at things, and what they discovered is that this notable star was going to take them to the promised Messiah. And these are just men who, they weren't even religious. They were just wise. I remember I preached a message years ago, wise men still seek him. Because they were wise then, And if they were wise then, we should be wise now. Amen. If they saw a star, a notable star then, yes, we should be able to find a notable star now. And if that star led them, that's why I love Brother Alex's message, because it says the star pointed them,
yes,
to the promised son.
Amen.
That's what the star does.
Amen.
Star points you to the real man, the real thing,
right,
the word made flesh.
Yes.
And here they were, not even religious. And then, see, a lot of us aren't religious. We weren't the religious people.
Right.
You know what? If you were religious, you would never made it here.
Amen.
You'd be sitting in your creeds and your dogmas, and you would be happy. You would be satisfied. But there's something about you that was different than the religious people of this world.
Amen.
And when they went after the scrolls, and when they went after the Bible, and when they went after their positions, and they went after churches and choirs and all this other stuff they're offering outside of the Word of God, when they went after that, even when you got that, you still were not satisfied.
That's right.
There was something different about you. You were like these wise, these magi. You were like them who knew nothing much about God, but all they knew is when they looked in the Bible and they looked at the stars, they found one that was more notable than all the others.
Amen. Amen.
And what they did was walked away from their home, walked away from the houses, walked away from their families, left everything, brought their best gifts, their singing, their preaching, their testimonies, whatever it is, gifts that you brought with you when you come here. You left everything else and you brought it with you. What you saw this morning was an example. I love this morning singing because, you know what, if you notice, everybody was different. Everybody did it a different way.
Yeah.
Sister Crystal got up here and started out.
Wow.
And like, that was different. That was perfect. And then every song, everything was brought forth, every bit of us. But the thing I loved about it was that it was you.
Yes.
It was your unique way of giving your gift to God. That was your gold. That was your frankincense, and that was your myrrh. Wise men still seek him. Wise men still bringing gifts. And you brought your gift this morning. And you offered it. And you say, oh, man, I didn't do nothing. Well, everybody didn't go to the manger either. But you had opportunity. They had opportunity. People have opportunity to bring their gifts. And if you want to bring it, you can.
Yes.
If you don't want to, you don't have to. And that's what I love about this day that we're living in. You can have as much of God as you want, or you can have a little bit of God as you want, but you don't have to sit in Jerusalem and not know what's going on. Do you realize the smart, educated high priests were sitting in Jerusalem at the time that this star was out there? And matter of fact, do you realize that when that star shone, as soon as they walked into the church world, in Jerusalem, the star disappeared. You can't find the star in your religious headquarters. And as long as you're sitting in a denomination, that star you will not see. So I'm saying that there was so much in these first six verses just to talk about it. There was so much going on. The religious people who should have known God. I had a friend of mine tell me, I told him about the message. I told him about Brother Branham. I told him about the prophet and all that was happening in this hour. And he said, Nate, don't you think if that was really God doing that everybody, all the church people would know it? I said, they never have.
Amen.
The church world misses God at every turn. They never find him. They never see him. They're sitting up in the church headquarters, Jerusalem.
Yeah,
right.
And they had all the scrolls. And they had all the doctors of divinities. And they had all the education. But they didn't have one thing. They didn't have a star. And without the star, you cannot find the Word made flesh.
Amen.
And here they were. It's sitting. The high priests were sitting in Jerusalem. serving God, praying to God, living a clean life, doing just, they were better than anybody else at living. They had to have a clean life. Their father had to have a clean life. Their grandfather and their whole 40 generations had to live clean. Come on now. So don't talk to me about good living.
Right. Come on.
You can't hold a light to it.
No.
I don't care if you live good. Look at your daddy.
Come on.
Oh, my daddy was a good man. Okay, look at your granddaddy.
Yeah.
Try going back 40 generations. So they're sitting there with their self-righteous, holy self, having all the scrolls, in our case, having the Bible, all the written word. They could quote it, they could read it, they could tell you where it's at, but they don't know what to do with it. That was the state of the church world when Jesus came the first time. They were sitting in Jerusalem, and when they come looking for him, the Magi come looking for him and say, where is he? And they're like, where's who? They weren't expecting a prophet. They weren't expecting the word. They weren't expecting the Messiah. Though they were religious. You know, people serving God now, they really ain't serious about the rapture. They're really not. You say, well, yes, they are. Because you try talking to them, because they're all, have a blessed day. They're all good. They're religious. They were in Jerusalem. They're religious. They talk about God. They read the Bible. They have an idea. But they don't really have a relationship. And then when you talk to them and you think that, well, this is a real person that really wants to know the truth. And then when you start opening up the truth to them, they don't want it. They don't want it. Though they were high priests in Jerusalem and well-read, they were very religious. That matter of fact, they knew when the Magi came into the town and they told them, they said, hey, where's the Messiah? Where's the one? And then the king got upset because he thought, there's another king besides me? So he got mad. He said, ain't nobody going to have this place but me. And so he called all the smart, educated high priest in. And he asked him, he said, hey, what's these guys talking about? What are you talking about? And the priest, you know what the priest did? They didn't just say, I don't know. They actually knew the scroll. They knew exactly what they were talking about. Yeah. Oh, that's one of those prophets. They're prophesying because when he's going to come out of Bethlehem. See, they knew that.
Yeah. Yeah.
They knew just enough Bible to kill him. They knew just enough Bible to know that they're not talking out of the side of their head, that there's some truth to it. Just like I sat down with that preacher, I was a young 19, 20-year-old, and my fellow worker was 19, 20, or whatever it was. See, we were sitting there together, and he came over to my house, and I said, tonight, we're going to disprove William Branham as a prophet. I'm going to bring all my quotes and all my scriptures. I'm just going to bring my scripture. We're going to look in the Bible because he didn't believe in the message. He was a preacher. I wasn't even a preacher. I said, tonight, it was a Friday night. I said, we got all night. I said, tonight, we're going to sit here and we're going to disprove William Branham according to the Bible. I'm going to bring everything I see in the Bible about it, and you tell me where it's off. And we went through Luke. We went through Matthew. We went through Revelation. We went through Malachi. We went through all the scriptures pointing to a prophet in his day. When we got finished, he looked at me and said, well, he said, you got scripture for it. And I told him, I said, you know what? You see by the word of God that we're supposed to have a prophet at the end time. I said, if William Branham isn't he, then you better go find him. And you know what? He wasn't serious about serving God. He never looked for it. Weren't even serious. He just wanted a form of godliness. But I wanted the truth. The wise men wanted the truth. They weren't worried about form and fashion. They weren't worried about trying to put on some kind of front. They said, where is he?
Yeah, they were serious.
They were serious about this thing. And if you're really serious about this thing, you're going to ask the same question. You're not going to put up with choirs. You're not going to put up with just a big church. You're not going to put up with numbers and form and fashion and all this stuff that they got, all this decorative stuff, that all this junk they call Christianity. You're going to want the truth. If you're a real believer, you want the truth. You don't care what it means. You don't care what it costs. You don't care what you have to lay down. You don't care what you have to give up. You want the truth. That's a believer for you. And when he had gathered all the chief priests, verse 4, and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. He asked them, where's it supposed to take place? They didn't say, I don't know. They said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea. They weren't surprised. For thus it is written by the prophet. And I had to go look it up. I said, let me find that. And so I went over there. Micah chapter 5, verse 2 says, but thou, Bethlehem, Ephrath, though thou be little amongst the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth has been from old, from everlasting. That was an Old Testament scroll. Church people knew that was there. They knew it was there. But they didn't understand what it meant. They're carrying the same Bible we carry. They're reading this morning. They're reading the same story. They're all over in Matthew 2 this morning. They're reading the same scrolls we're reading. They're talking about the same Jesus we're talking about. They're worshiping the same God we worship. But let me tell you what Jesus said. In vain do they worship me. Not some false god, not some Greek god. In vain do they worship me, the real, true God. And why did he say it was in vain? Because they were doing it after teaching in the doctrines of men. He said, you've made your creeds and your dogmas, you made the word of God of none effect to you. In other words, you can have the Bible, you can have the scrolls, you can know what it says, but you don't even know God, and you worship him in vain because you misinterpret his word by your traditions and creed. They're doing it all around the world today.
Amen.
You don't have a clue what you're reading. That's what Philip asked that Ethiopian. He just got out of church. Seemed like if anybody should know something, when you get out of church, you should know something. And that's exactly what happens now. People go to church, they read the scriptures, they walk out just as dumb as they were when they got there. No revelation at all. That Ethiopian come out of church. And he looked at the scriptures that they were reading in church, and he said, I don't know what they're talking about. I don't understand what this means. Philip showed up, poof. Hey, where you going? Can I ride with you? What you doing? What you reading over there? Oh, I got some scrolls here I got picked up at the church. I got the church program. And I'm reading over what the preacher talked about.
Amen.
And I'm trying to understand what it's talking about here, but I don't understand. And Philip said, do you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I unless some man show me? He just got out of church and just as dumb as he was when he went in there, if not dumber. But he had enough sense to know he needed a man. He had enough sense to know he needed somebody with a revelation. He had enough sense to recognize that somebody that knows this has got to tell it to me. You can't get this on your own. If God doesn't give it to you, and it's going to come through a man, if God doesn't give it to you, you can't get it. I don't care how much you go to church. I don't care how much you read the Bible. I don't care how smart you think you are. I don't care how educated you are. You must be born again. It comes by revelation. And without that, all you got is a bunch of dead letter. All you got, you carry the Bible under your arm all you want. People are going to carry the Bible all the way to hell.
That's right. Amen.
Got over there in Matthew and they said, Lord, didn't we do this in your name? In your name.
Yeah.
Lord, didn't we heal the sick? Lord, didn't we raise the dead? Lord, didn't we pray in your name? Lord, didn't we do all these things? He said, depart from me.
Yeah.
I never knew you. See, it's not a problem if you know him. It's a problem if he doesn't know you. A lot of people want to call him by their name. A lot of people want to be married to him. A lot of people want to be the bride. A lot of people want to be a Christian. But you can't be a Christian because you want to be. You must come from God to go back to God. You got to be a part of God or you can't go. If you're not a part of God, I don't care how many Bibles and books and Greek things you read, you're not going to get anything out of it. Okay.
Amen, amen.
You gotta have a revelation. And you know what? The church world is so lacking in revelation, they don't even know they need it. They don't even understand how you get a new birth. They don't understand how the relationship between you and God works. They're trying to educate you into this thing. They have Sunday schools. They have church functions. They have Bible studies. They have all these things. But they're trying to teach you according to their doctrines and commandments of men. And you can't get it that way. You're not going to educate yourself so smart that you're going to get God's attention. They're all trying to teach you how to be a Christian. They have these Christian classes to teach you how to act like a Christian, how to be a Christian, how to talk like one, how to walk like one, how to dress like one. Everybody's trying to get you to dress right, and look right, and talk right, and don't do this, and don't do that, and thou shalt not. And they don't realize that the one thing that they're missing is a revelation.
Right.
And Jesus told Peter, when Peter was looking at him, he said, Peter, whom did the church world say that I am? Who do they say I am? And they said, they think you're Elijah. They think you're one of the prophets. They think you're this. They think you're that. They got all kind of ideas, but don't have a clue. But he said, Peter, personally, who do you say? See, this is the only way you're going to get today's message. It's God personally reveals it to you. Who do you say that I am? Who do you say is in this place? Who do you say is preaching to you? Peter looked up and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What did Jesus turn around and do? He didn't say, Peter, quit that. Peter, shh. No, he said, Peter, flesh and blood didn't give this to you. You didn't get this through the seminary. You didn't get this through the cemetery. You didn't get this through your doctrine. You didn't get this through all this teaching. Flesh and blood didn't give this to you, but my Heavenly Father's personally revealed this to you. Only way to get it is by revelation. People are so busy trying to get educated in this thing, and it won't work. It won't work. You'll be an educated fool. That's all you'll be. You still won't know God.
That's right. Amen.
If he doesn't quicken it, it won't happen. And that was a problem in Jerusalem. The problem wasn't that they didn't want to have God, because a lot of people want to have God, but they don't want to pay the price. They wanted to have God. In their mind, they knew the scrolls. When the king asked them, they said, yeah, that's going to happen in Jerusalem. I mean, in Bethlehem. Well, why were they sitting in Jerusalem if the happening's in Bethlehem? If I thought it was going to happen in Bethlehem, do you know where I would be? It shows they weren't really serious about God. And the reason they were in Jerusalem, because that's where the church headquarters was. That's where the money was. That's where the opportunity was. That's where the ability to climb that spiritual ladder was. But over in Bethlehem, all you had over there is a stable. All you had over there is sheep. All you had over there is the nastiest, dirty town on that side of the world. They didn't want the church there. Too poor, too dirty. All right, nobody going to Bethlehem. They didn't have enough money to build a church in Bethlehem. So here they were, sitting in the wrong place at the right time. So you could be in the wrong place at the right time. You might have the right time. A lot of people say, oh, this is the end time. That's right. But where are you sitting?
Amen.
Are you in Jerusalem? Are you in Bethlehem? Makes all the difference in the world.
Come on now.
People are trying to serve God, and I don't fault them for trying to serve God. They need to, but if you're serious about serving God, you need to go where God is, not where he was.
Amen.
They were wasting their time in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
They were wasting their time doing all their incense and all their scroll readings and all of their studies. They were wasting their time because that notable star wouldn't even go near that thing. They couldn't see God's star in Jerusalem if they had to. And as soon as the wise men walked in Jerusalem, the star disappeared. That should have told them something right there. And the only reason they went to Jerusalem, they thought, surely, they're like, my friend, surely if God's going to do something, he's going to come to Jerusalem, the headquarters, the most holy place. And they thought, surely he's going to do that here. And when it got in there, and the church world had no clue. Wow. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah.
Church world had no clue. They had the scrolls, they had the Bible, they had the high priest, they had the religion, but didn't know God. You can't even find a notable star in Jerusalem. If you're in denomination, you will not even see the star. It's not there. And as soon as they left Jerusalem, lo and behold, the star appeared again. As long as you follow the star, it'll take you to the Word made flesh.
Amen.
As soon as you step in denomination, Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, whatever, name it, Catholic, interdenomination, outer denomination, any denomination, as soon as you step in there, the star disappears. Star's not going there. God's not going there. Matter of fact, in Revelation, he said, I stand at the door and knock. People say he's doing that to your heart. He ain't doing that to your heart. He's doing that to that denominational door. At the end time, you got to come out of the denomination to come into Christ. And they interpret it as God's knocking on your heart. Have you ever heard that? He said, but he is, isn't he? No. He's not knocking on your heart. How are you going to come out of your heart? He wants to come into your heart. Come out of denomination, come into your heart. That's what he wants. But they got that interpreted to say that God's knocking at your heart. God ain't knocking at your heart. God doesn't want your heart. Matter of fact, the first thing God does to you is kill you.
That's right.
That's why Jesus said you must be born again. Because as soon as you agree with the word and you say the word is right, it kills, annihilates that old nature. So God ain't trying to keep your heart. So over there in Micah's where chapter 5, if you never read it, that's where it is. God can raise up just a little something different, and altogether we denounce it. Instead of searching the scriptures to see if it's right or not, we just quickly throw it away. There's nothing to it. We ought to search out these things and find out whether it's right or not. And remember, if it's not right, they'll finally die. For Jesus said, every plant that my Father, my heavenly Father, hath not planted will be rooted up. But I think it was Gamaliel that made the great statement that time, if it be of God, we don't want to be found fighting against it. And if it's not of God, it'll come to nothing, to naught anyway. So study it, Brother Branham says. Study, think of it. Study it out. When I heard the word of God really hurt the truth of the matter, I studied it out. I heard it. And I looked at it. And I'm not saying study as in you go home and you get all the books and you go and put everything around you. No, I'm saying study it. Think it through. Look at it. See if it runs with the rest of the Bible. When my denomination told me speaking in tongues was initial evidence of the Holy Ghost, I believed that. But when I heard the truth, I went back and looked the scripture because I come in and Brother Joe said, that doesn't even say that. I'm like, oh, yes, it does. I'm an apostolic. I know what I'm talking about. I bet you it does. Brother Childers, he was right up here. And I'm like, yeah, I'm speaking in tongues. That's the Spirit of God. You know, and Brother Childers like, doesn't say that. I'm like, oh, yes, it does. See, I had a creed. I had a dogma, something that was given to me, and I was believing it because somebody told me it's. And you know what? You can believe something and read something into the Word of God and think it's there when it's not. And that's what I was doing. I had Acts 2:38, and I said that was the evidence of the Holy Ghost. Brother Chilton said, it's not that. I stomped home, snatched my Bible up to Acts 2:38. It's like, I know it's here somewhere. It must be 39. Maybe it's 37. And I had to come to the conclusion they lied. They interpreted that, and I believed it as that being the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost. Oh, I believe in tongues, but not for the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost. That means when you get the Holy Ghost, that's the first thing you're going to do is speak in tongues. That's what the apostolics taught me, and that's what I believed. Until I run across a man who could turn on a light. And when he told me to go home, he said, I didn't even say that. And I went home. He didn't pound it over my head. He just said it sort of in passing. And I got mad and went home and looked it up. I didn't look it up here in front of me. I'm glad I didn't now. I am so glad I didn't. I saved my face. I went home, back up to my little prayer closet, went back and found out that initial evidence ain't even there. But that shows you what man's traditions will do. That's why Jesus said it makes the word of God of none effect. Because you know what that does is when you make the speaking in tongues the initial evidence, then everybody that doesn't speak in tongue, you automatically mark off. I marked off Luther. I marked off Wesley. They weren't tongue speakers. So they didn't have it. So you start narrowing down your understanding. And then you start looking at your brothers and sisters. And some of them speaking in tongues. And then some of them haven't spoken tongues. They used to judge us about how our last speaking. It's like, so Don, when's the last time? I haven't heard you speak in tongues lately. And so if you didn't hear them after a while, you've lost it. So then that breaks more scripture. Because Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So that breaks the script. See what one little dogma can do? It makes the whole word of God of none effect to you. So then you knock out the eternal security. You knock out God staying with you. You knock out so many of those scriptures because of your one tradition. That's why he said little leaven leavens a whole lump. You don't need the whole loaf of bread to be full of leaven. All you need is just a little bit. Just a little poison. Just put a little bit of poison in the bread. It'll do the job. So here they were thinking they had something, and people will not go and check it out for themselves. They're depending on their bishop. They're lazy. They're depending on the elders. They're depending on the older people. They're depending on the smart people. You better search it out for yourself. You better find God for yourself. You better forget about daddy. Forget about mama. Forget about brother. Forget about sister. Forget about church. Forget about pastors. Forget about elders. Forget about bishop. And seek it out for yourself. Because they don't know what you are learning when you get under the word of God. And matter of fact, if you find out something, God reveals something to you, and you take it back to them, they're going to try to shoot it down.
Amen.
Jesus said over there, Luke chapter 12, oh, it's 11:55? Y'all sang too long. Jesus said over there in Luke chapter 12, and he said also to the people, when you see clouds rise out of the west, straightway you say, there cometh the shower. And so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, there will be heat. And it comes to pass. You hypocrites. You can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that you do not discern this time? In other words, those magi were able to discern the time by the star. And the church officials, who should have been able to discern, knew nothing. And they didn't. They can't plead ignorance because they had to scroll, because as soon as they asked, where's he going to be born? They said, oh, out of Bethlehem. They knew the prophecy. They knew it was there, but they didn't care. They didn't care. If they cared, they wouldn't have been in Jerusalem. Jesus said, you can discern the signs of the sky. See, God always displays what he's doing in the skies, in the heavens first. He always does. And man always finds out later, if they find out at all. But God always, and Jesus told him, said, you know how to do it in the natural, but you can't do it in the spiritual. You know how to discern the signs of the time. You can tell it's going to rain. You can tell it's going to be sunshine. And the news people, they've gotten really good. Now, back when I was younger, and some of you people who know Gil Whitney, and most people don't, because Gil Whitney's been dead for many, many years. Well, Gil Whitney used to take, when he did the weather, he'd have cut out clouds that he'd paste on the, don't laugh at us. So we had. He'd had cut out clouds. If it was going to be a rainy day, he'd cut out clouds, and it's like a Velcro sticky thing. And when they show the news, you see those clouds. But that's how we, and it was hit and miss. More miss than hit. Gil was wrong most of the time. Because we didn't know, we didn't have the technology y'all have now. Now there, God is so that my phone will come up and tell me it's going to start raining in Beaver Creek in 15 minutes. They are so smart. They can discern all kind of weather. They can discern everything under the sun. They can tell you all this stuff, but when it comes to spiritual things, the church world is blinded. Don't have a clue. They're worse than Gil Whitney. They don't know what's going on. Church is trying to pray for Israel. But what they don't understand is you're sawing the limb that you're standing on. You're like, Lord, I want you to bless Israel. Save them. They're in trouble. But what you don't understand is in order for God to deal with Israel, he's got to actually lead the Gentiles. So for him to leave the Gentiles means the rapture has to happen. The bride gets called away. The dead gets resurrected. And the tribulation period is on.
Amen.
Lord, help Israel. Save them from the troubles. You better pray for yourself. Lord, help me get off this limb. But this is the church world for you. They are so dumb when it comes to spiritual matters. I can see why Jesus got mad at them. Every time you turn around, they were doing things that try to hurt. Jesus got the guy down at the pool, a Siloam, healed him. Healed him. Man hadn't walked since he was a boy. Jesus healed him. Told him to take up his bed and go on a walk. Well, the high priest standing there, he didn't say nothing about the healing. He didn't recognize the fact that a man had not walked, but now is walking. All he saw was there was a man walking with his bed on the Sabbath. And the law said, don't do anything on the Sabbath. Jesus said, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. I ain't worried about their dates. See, Jesus was you think we're renegade. Jesus was a renegade. Jesus was like, I ain't worried about their Sabbath. Take your bed up and walk. Walking down the road,
They needed corn. They needed something to eat. She said, go ahead and pick it. Get it. Help yourself. It wasn't even his. We won't go there. But just let's say it wasn't even his corn. But they picked it on the Sabbath. And they got mad about that. See, when you have church dogma, it will so block you from God that unless God opens your eyes, you will never see him.
That's right.
Won't go there, but just to show you how God does things in the heaven before down here. Remember at the flood, Noah? God put a rainbow in heaven. Trying to tell him, I'm never going to do this again. He always did things in the heaven. And then he did it down there. God declared it, and then he went back and he said, I'm never going to do that again. And Jesus, who is our light, John 8 and 12, he said, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. When you find that star, and Jesus is the star, he is the main star. He is our North Star. I'm trying. Brother Branham said, you know, the world turns around, and the stars really. And one you can see at the evening star, and another one in the morning star. The world turns around it, but it shifts away from those stars. All but the North Star. Now, you can't see your compass upon an evening star and get anywhere. Because the next morning, what? You go in the evening star in the west, and the next morning, you're in the east. See, you can't do it. He's saying, the stars move. You can't base anything off of those stars, because in the morning it's one place, in the evening it's another place. See, you can't do it, but you can set it on the North Star. Amen. And hold her dead center. You'll come out. And that's what a Christ-centered life is. When you're lost, he is your North Star. Amen. Then if he is a North Star, the Holy Spirit is your compass. Amen. So it's just not enough to know Jesus and have him in the Bible.
Right.
You got to have a compass to go along with the North Star.
Right.
The Holy Spirit is your compass.
Amen.
And the compass will only point to the North Star.
Right. Right.
It won't point to a creed or a denomination.
Amen.
It won't point to a sensation or whatever it is. It'll hold steady to that North Star.
Amen.
He is your North Star. When you're lost and you might shift with denominations and things like that, but the compass, the Holy Spirit, will point you right straight to the Word, which is Christ, and holds you steady and tied to that.
Amen.
See, the world, they're using all kind of other stars. But there's one notable star. Out of all the stars in the sky, there's one notable star that never moves, never changes, never rotates somewhere else. It's always where it's supposed to be. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're looking, if you got the Holy Ghost, if you got a compass, you say, well, the Holy Ghost is leading me. If you got the Holy Ghost, it's going to lead you right to that star.
Amen.
It's going to hold you steady. It's going to, when the rest of the church world is going crazy with all their traditions and their ideals and things they think it is and things they want it to be and all the things that are false and all the traditions, you got your Holy Ghost pointing you right to the North Star. And I don't care what they do. I don't care what they say. I don't care how united they get. I'm going to stay right focused on that North Star because that's the most notable star in the sky. Only sure thing there is, it's the Word of God.
Amen.
Only thing that's going to get you from A to Z is the Word of God.
Amen.
All other ground is sinking sand.
Yes.
On Christ, the solid rock I stand.
Amen.
He's my guide. He's my North Star.
Amen.
And I've got the compass keeping me focused right where he is. That's what got me here.
Yeah.
Because I needed the Word. I needed, and when I heard the Word, unbartered by all the traditions of men, when I heard the Word in its pure form, my compass said,
yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
That'll take you right. And see, that's how I know a believer, because a believer has the Holy Ghost dealing with them. They're not tossed to and fro. They're not looking for a compass over here and jumping over here and over here and over here and jumping all around. You'll move around, you'll hop around, and you'll jump around until you find that North Star. Oh, but when you find that North Star, you're not going anywhere. That's why I can tell people how I last them, because I know where the North Star is. I see them looking, well, this is a nice star over here, or this is a nice star. This star's better. This looks like Jupiter's shining a little bit brighter. Go on and put your compass on Jupiter. Go ahead and focus on Mars. Go ahead and put it anywhere else. My life is built on the North Star. And that's why I said I'll be here when you're gone.
Amen. Amen.
I can depend on him.
Yes.
Talking about the most notable star. I'm going to wind this up. I'm going to cut a lot, but I'm going to wind it up. Y'all getting the idea? That's why I was turned on by this before I even got it in the books. Just knowing that he's that star. Knowing that we've got a notable. And then over in Revelations. Chapter 1. Won't read the whole thing, but in verse 16 it says, and he had in his right hand seven stars.
Amen.
Oh my, here we are.
Amen.
Got seven stars, but it's okay about all the stars, but there's one notable one for me.
Amen.
Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. I can't wait.
All right.
Whew.
Yeah.
Amen.
And he had in his right hand seven stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as a sun and shineth in the strength. And when I saw him, I fell down at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I live from evermore. Amen. And hath the key to hell and death. Hell and death. He's got the key.
Yes.
Jesus Christ, our North Star, holds the key to hell and death. In other words, I let in who I want to let in.
That's right.
I let out who I want to let out.
Yes.
I'll give death to who I want to.
Yes.
And I'll hold it back from who I don't want to have it.
Amen.
I hold the key. Write these things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Here John was. His job was to write what was scribed to him. But you realize John was seeing all these things. Now, Jesus Christ, just real quick, just Revelations 1. Just real quick. It's not in my notes, but I just feel like I want to read just the opening. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. Do you realize it's like password? It comes from the mind of God. And Jesus was standing there and he was showing these things to John. But where was John getting this from? Because as he was describing it, he would have some voice that was standing there, said, John, this is this. John, this is that. John, look over here. John, look at this whore. John, look at this church. John, look at this. There was somebody there.
That's right.
And that person was standing there describing all of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Because you know what? That was his job.
Yes.
That was his job. There was only one of the seven stars
right.
who had the job to just explain the entire thing. Only one star. Oh, Paul put it in order. The rest of them did. Matter of fact, Paul was the one to put it in order. The rest of them were just messengers. But there was another prophet. Another star. At the end, one more notable to me than any other star. Here John was looking all in the book of Revelation. He's writing it down. And the scribe writing it down. But somebody was telling him what to write. Somebody was explaining. And out of all the seven messengers that we had, there was only one messenger's job to explain the book of Revelation. It wasn't Paul's job. Revelation wasn't even written when Paul was here. Matter of fact, Revelation was written after Paul was gone, and this angel was standing here with John on the Isle of Patmos, and this angel had to call him up into the eighth day into eternity. But there was an angel standing there describing the revelation of Jesus Christ to him. That messenger was describing everything that John wrote in the book of Revelation. And there's only one of the messengers up here who had the job to expose the book of Revelation. Only one had access to all of that information. And that didn't happen until the seventh day. And he had in his right hand seven stars, Brother Branham said. Now, of course, we already know from verse 20 what the seven stars actually are. And the mystery of the seven stars are the angels, the messengers of the seven churches. Now, we can't make a mistake here on any account as he interprets it for us. These seven stars are the messengers to the seven successive church ages. They're not called by name. They're just set forth as seven. One to each age, from Ephesus on down to Laodicean age, each messenger brought the message of truth to the people, never failing to keep its word of God to the particular church age. Each one held it. They were steadfast in their loyalty to the original light. Every one of those messengers were standing there giving the light for their age, the light for their age, the light for their age. But when you get to the seventh angel, his was a little different. Oh, he restored the word. He restored back to what Paul had. But that was only the first part of his ministry. The second part of his ministry was the opening of the word. Literally opening of the book of Revelation. And not just that book, but opening the book of Revelation opened up the entire Bible to us. Where we lived in darkness before and didn't understand the Bible and didn't understand, we didn't even understand why Christ came. We really didn't. We didn't understand salvation. We didn't understand the virgin birth. We didn't understand the fall in the garden. We didn't understand anything. And oh, you said, well, we have this taught to us in the church world all of our life. They said that Eve ate an apple and knew she was naked. They don't have enough knowledge of the Word of God to know that it was sex in the garden. They don't even understand that Cain and Abel were twins. They don't understand that Cain was the son of the serpent and Abel was the son of Adam. They don't know these things. They don't understand that God promised a restoration at the end time. They don't understand this. They don't understand that if you don't come from God, you can't go to God. They don't understand predestination by foreknowledge. They don't understand none of these things. And somebody at the end time, the star for the last day, brought that information to us. And that star stood out to me more than any other star, more notable than any other star. Amen. Oh, Paul was great. Irene was great. Martin was great. They all were great. But the one that stood out to me.
Right.
Was the most notable star that opened everything. Brother Branham said, now we see that there were seven, this is the seventh book now. He said, it's the mystery of redemption. It's the book of redemption from God. Now all the mysteries at this time should be finished at the sounding of the message here. Now, here is the angel on earth and another angel, mighty angel. Come down, see, this angel was an earthly angel messenger, but here comes one down from heaven with rainbow coming, see, only Christ it could be. that angel come down, and that angel came down and went somewhere. Oh my.
Amen.
He has to start somewhere, because remember, God doesn't do nothing until he first reveals it to his servants, the prophet.
That's
so
right.
That angel come down to earth got into this angel.
Yes. Right. Amen.
Amen.
And that angel become what is more notable than all the others.
Right.
And I got to run on out of here. Now, listen to what Brother Branham said here. You see, each one of those ages only took a dip into the Holy Spirit. Justification is a work of the Holy Spirit. Sanctification is a work of the Holy Spirit. But the baptism is the Holy Spirit. That's the reason it took a prophetic prophet to come down, no messenger to the age, because the Holy Ghost came himself in his fullness of the baptism. But at the end of the age, as it always ends up with the others, we find that the messenger sent. We find the messenger sent. And all these scruples and things are to be placed in their place like that. And the rapture comes for the church. He said this messenger comes on the scene to put all the scruples where they're supposed to be.
Right.
And when he does that, then the rapture to the church can happen.
Amen.
That's where we're at. And that seventh angel, he was a special angel. I'm not going to read it, but Revelation 10. 1-7. That angel's here on earth. But listen to this. This is Brother Branham in the seventh seal. Now, I listened to the seals, and when I first heard him say this, I was like, what? I had to back the tape up and listen again. And it's like, wow. Another thing I want you to notice, what's taking place. And if you're listening to this tape, what time is it, sir? You will notice that the angel was very noticeable to me. The rest of them just seemed ordinary. But this angel was a noted angel. He was to my left in the constellation in the form of a pyramid. And remember, it was the pyramid where the mysterious white rock was not written on. And the angel took me into that pyramid of themselves, the mysteries of God known only to them. And now there were the messengers. The messengers had come to interpret the pyramid or that message of the secret of those seven seals, which laid inside the pyramid. Now the angel was to my left. Will it really be the last or seventh angel? If we recount them from left to right, because he was on my left, me looking to him towards the west, him coming towards the east, would be on my left side. So it would be the last angel's message. Very notable. Remember how I said that he's got his head back and his great sharp wings and how he flew to me? Now, that is the seventh seal. It's still a notable thing. And we don't know what it is yet, but it's not permitted to be broken. That was Brother Branham talking on the seventh seal when he didn't know what was going on. That seventh angel was more notable. He kept his eye on that one. You got to keep your eye on that seventh angel. Because that seventh angel held something that none of the others held. Now, just to jump down. Revelation 10:8-11. We know that. We take the book, eat it. It's our turn to prophesy. Okay. I'm running out of time here. But I do want to read this. Okay. Here it is. Here it is. Now, I told you when John was here, John wrote the book of Revelations, and he was dealing with those seven stars the whole time. But then, Revelations chapter 19, let's just look at this for a minute. Verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. And his wife hath made herself ready. Now, he'd come all the way down through time to when the bride was ready.
Right.
Now, remember, in Revelation chapter 1, she wasn't ready. He said, write to them, get them ready, tell them this is going to come, tell them this is going to happen. But now we're down in 19. He's wrapping the book up.
Right.
He said the bride, his wife has made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clothed in white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage of the supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are true sayings of God. Now listen, he's dealing with somebody who's right at the rapturing time. Right. At the wrapping up of it all. And this angel is explaining to him what he's looking at. And look at how notable this angel was. He was actually confusing. Verse 10. This is John. And I fell at his feet to worship him. Oh, this has got to be Jesus. He had so much revelation, so much understanding. He was explaining the whole book of Revelation. John said, this has got to be the man. So he fell down to worship him. And he said unto me, see, thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant. I'm just doing my job. And of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus Christ, worship God. For the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. Don't get caught up in me. There's some people in this message should hear that message. They bow down at Brother Branham's feet. And they think Brother Branham is God. And they think he's this. And they think he's that. They're totally wrong. No wonder people think we follow a man. Because of those knuckleheads. But I can't blame them because John did the same thing. John got confused. But the prophet told us, he said, don't worship me. You know, our Joshua is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that's taking us over. He's the one taking us through. That mighty angel of Revelations 10 and 1 was the Lord himself. Thessalonians 4. That angel came down and God in that angel gave him this revelation that he was explaining to John. And John got so convinced that that notable angel was so right that he said, this has got to be the Lord. He said, no, I'm not. I'm your brother. But I'm just the one that's ordained to explain the book of Revelations. Because that's my job. That's why I'm called. That's why I exist. Just like us. When we get over there, after the body change, the people are going to look at y'all like, wow. You had so much revelation and you actually stood there and got your body changed. When nobody else believed you, you stood right there. When all the world died out and went their own way, you stood right there because you followed that angel's message to the very body change. The bride has made herself ready. We know what it is. We know who we are. We have seen this star and have followed him right to the Son of Man. We followed this star, the most notable star of all of them. We followed that star and it led us right to Christ. He said, what kind of Christmas message is this? It's the best kind you could ever get. But I told you, if you don't bring the message up to the hour that you're living in, you ain't even in church. If you can't follow this star, if you can follow him, it'll lead you right to the Word made flesh. And he's in a many-membered body. And this little ragtag team is wrapping this thing up. Because I have seen his star. And I have come to worship him. Yes. Not the star. No. William Branham is not the one we worship. Yes. He was a man like we are. He just had an office of God, but we followed that star and led us right to the Son of Man. Yes. Now we have access to everything. That most notable star led us right to Jesus Christ. Yes. I'm going to just jump right down to one of my favorites. The church is no longer the mouthpiece of God. It's its own mouthpiece. They're telling you whatever they want you to hear. So God is turning on her. He will confound her through the prophet and the bride. For the voice of God will be in her. If you're going to hear from God at all now, it's going to be through the bride. Oh, we're even past hearing it through the prophet. I can read Revelation 10, 8 through 11, because the voice of the bride is the same voice as the prophet. The prophet's gone, but the final voice is in the bride. Amen. And she'll prophesy again, and she'll take this thing to the world. And she's done it. Right. Yes, it is. For it says in the last chapter of Revelation, verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Once more, the world will hear direct from God as at Pentecost. But of course, the word bride will be repudiated as in the first age. We're here. We have become that most notable star. And if you want to find God now, follow the star. Follow the star. It'll lead you right to Christ. Every time. It'll lead you right to where you should be. We've had a notable star in this age, more notable than all the others. He was so notable that John bowed and said, and he said, no. I want to read that quote. I'm rushing. I'm backing up a little. Now, do you believe that the time, even on John, on the Isle of Patmos, the message was so perfect that he couldn't trust it with an angel? You know, the angel is a messenger, but do you know the messenger was a prophet? You believe that? Congregation said there. His congregation said amen. All right. Let's prove it. Revelation 22. Let's see if it was an eagle. Yeah. See, he was an angel. He was a messenger, but it was a prophet that revealed this whole book of Revelations to John, to him. It was a prophet. Not Jesus. It was a prophet that revealed the whole book of Revelation to him. John saw this thing so great that he thought that it was the Lord himself. You know what? We're going to be so much like Christ now that it's the Lord himself in us. Because you got to realize in Thessalonians, it is the Lord. He said the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and a voice and a trump of God. All done. Yeah. Oh, we've grown this year.
Yes. Wow.
It's all done.
Amen.
The Lord himself is here.
Yes.
The star, the North Star is here.
Amen.
And that North Star will lead you to the Word made flesh, which is the bride.
Amen.
That's where we're at.
Amen.
The most notable star has shone in the sky.
Amen.
And now we're down here. We are now the most notable star. Put us up next to any denomination. We'll outshine them all. And I ain't talking about good living. I'm not talking about Bible knowledge. I'm talking about the very life of Christ is living out through us. And what makes you the very life of Christ is that you're fulfilling the word for the hour that you're living in. That's what makes you the most notable star. When people see you, they don't even know what to call it. They just say, wow, there's a bright light there. You're more notable than any denominational person. People come here, they look at y'all and say, they don't know what to do with it. Try to shut us down, try to lock us out, try to disown us, trying to act like we're no good, try to start rumors about us, start doing everything else, but you know what? We got the North Star. When they see you out there 5 years later and they say, are you still going to Fairmont? Oh, yes. You still believe in that prophet's message? Oh, yes. You're still on your way to heaven? Oh, yes. I'm more sure today than I've ever been in my life.
Amen. Amen.
We have seen his star.
Yes.
And we have come to worship him.
Yes.
God help us to follow the star. Help us to follow the light. Help us to keep him in front of us, because when the light's shining on your path, you won't stumble. I went through the kitchen last night and turned the lights out, and Melanie was in the dark. And she was walking slow. I was wondering why she's walking slow. She's like, you turn all the lights out. You leave some light on, and you can walk pretty fast. But if you're in darkness, you're not going to get anywhere. And this world, this entire world is in total darkness. Only light there is in Goshen. Only light there is where that star is shining brightly on the bride of Jesus Christ. She knows what to do with the word. She knows what it is now. We're not even depending on William Branham. Isn't that crazy? We don't need him back. People are like, oh, William Branham's got to come back. No, he doesn't have to come back. When he comes back, the rest of them coming with him. We got everything we need to follow the star. It led me right to the Son of Man. It led me right to the Word made flesh. And now that's what I've been fellowshipping with for years and years. And I don't feel no way tired. Amen. Heavenly Father, we're thankful this morning for your word. Thank you for that most notable star. And how the wise men were wise in following that light. And Lord, any man or woman who is wise will follow this light. Oh, it's different than what we've had, but thank God it is. Because this is the light that's going to change our bodies. This is the light that's going to unite the living with the dead. This is the light that walked us from here and walked us to eternity. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you've done. But I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. I'm grateful that you came. But Lord, I'm glad to know that you're here. And I can see you. I can hear you. I can even feel you, Lord. I look at what you do in our lives and how you bless us with your word so much. Lord, when we come under this anointing, oh, there's nothing better. When we hear this word, there's nothing better. I wouldn't trade it for a thing in the world. And I'd sell everything out for this pearl of great price. Let me not put you second or third, but let me seek ye first the kingdom of God. And then all these other things will be added unto us. When we put you first, the world will fall in line where it needs to be. And Lord, we'll be able to do the greater works that you promised that we were going to do in this hour. Oh, I see us doing it. It's not even hard to see. I see you healing the body. I see you answering prayers. I see you holding us up when the world falling apart around us. I see us in Goshen and in light. The word just gets brighter and brighter every service. And Lord, I just can't help but to run back to the house one more time. And when this battle's over, Lord, you'll change these vile bodies. And all our problems and troubles that we struggle with here from day to day, they won't mean anything anyway. Lord, we'll lay that thing down and we'll wear a crown with you and walk right next to you because we'll turn around and say, Lord, to God be the glory. You've done it all. And roll our crowns to your feet, knowing that it's been you the whole way through. Thank you for coming. Thank you for that virgin birth. Thank you for the real reason for the season and understanding of why you even came. Had you not come, you wouldn't have been a kinsman redeemer. Had you not come, you would have not been able to pay the price. But you've done it, Lord. And we thank you, Father, for everything you've done. Be with us as we take a little time. Bring us back on Wednesday, Lord. Bless the baptism this afternoon. Ask you to just be with those at home. And let us, Lord, just press as never before as we wind this thing up. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, Jeremiah going to take care of the baptism. And there's water if anybody else, you say, well, I didn't plan on it. Well, if God's talking to you today and you need to do it, this is your day. Don't put off to tomorrow what you can do today. God has been good to us. There's never been a day like this day. Come back on Wednesday expecting. Amen. So we'll sing this and then we'll do the baptism and then we'll close out. There's never been a day like this day.
to me. There's never been a day like this day I see. There has never been a light that shines. How fitting, oh, as this day. To me, there's never been a day like this day I see. There has never been a light that shines so bright as this day, this glorious day. You do, we'll walk in the light. It's such a beautiful light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy are bright, for it shines all around us by day and by night. For is Jesus the light of the world? Yes, we will walk in this light. It's such a beautiful light. Just come where the dewdrops of mercy are bright.
Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this message today, Lord, for the star that points us to the true North Star, Lord. You yourself, this word of the hour.
Yes.
And here stands little Adeline, Lord. We thank you for her. She's heard your call. You said, repent and be baptized in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. And she says, I want to do that.
Yes.
Thank you for the work you're doing in her life, Lord. We ask that you bless her, continue to strengthen her, let her grow in this word and become everything that you wish and saw her become. Thank you for everything. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and ask, amen. I baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. There's never been a day like this day to me. There's never been a day like this day I see. There has never been a light that shines so bright as this day, this glorious day. Oh, there has